believe that men are different than women? Is this new a revelation? How many of you know this is no new news, right? Well, over the last couple weeks, we've been saying that men are absolutely different than women. Women are different than men. And because of that, we never want anybody to walk away with the idea that we think that maybe one is better than the other. How many of you know women are not better than men? Dudes, come on. Women are not better than men. They're scared still, scared. All right? How many of you know men are not better than women? See, look how they were like, they just couldn't wait to get it out, man. It's absolutely true. But the truth of the matter is, though, even though we're equally different, how many of you know sometimes there are problems? There are problems. And today, this entire message is centering around one aspect of where I believe most problems start and exist inside of a relationship. There's really one area. And honestly, out of the entire series, this may be the most important message you ever hear in your life. Could possibly. It probably will transform your life. It will. It probably will. So listen to this. I'm going to give you everything you need to know about this subject. This subject is communication. How many of you believe communication is a big deal in a relationship? Oh, it's huge, man. It's huge. I'm gonna give you everything you need to know, and here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do it with one slide, and in 2 seconds. Everything you need to know about communication. You ready? Are you ready? You ready? Sharks and turtles. Huh. Which one are you? Huh? How many of you believe you're the shark in the relationship? How many of you believe you're the turtle? How many of you just raised your husband's hand for him? Here's the truth. The truth of the matter is there's a little bit of shark in every one of us. There's a little bit of turtle in every one of us. Now, scientifically, though, science has said, and it's on the web, so it must be true. On a serious note, they do studies on this stuff, and they say, on average, that the typical woman is more like a shark, and men are more like turtles. How many of you women can kind of see that? Yeah, they say that it's true. They say that women are much more proactive about finding out the details and finding out what's going on. And men are much more like, just hide me and tell me when it's over. Come on, you might know what I'm saying? Absolutely. And I believe it's to be true. Now, let me just kind of clear the air here and tell you exactly what it means to be a turtle. What it means to be a turtle is your natural inclination is to avoid and withdraw. And I believe personally that this is really most men. Most men are this way. And matter of fact, I've had people come in and for counseling and they've said, Pastor Charlie, all my husband wants to do is fight with me. I say, honey, you couldn't be any more further from the truth. She's like, are you serious? I said, no. A natural state of any man is to live in peace. Can I get a witness in the house of God? The natural state of any man is to live in peace. Just peace, man. That's all I really want. Now, check this out. Shark. The natural inclination of a shark is to attack and win. They smell blood in the water and it's on. It is on. Now, I'm not up here trying to tell you that every woman in here is a shark and every man is a turtle. Here's what I will tell you, that our default is that women typically act like sharks, men typically act like turtles. And I will tell you this, that one is not better than the other. Matter of fact, the truth of the matter is we got a whole lot of that in all of us. And I just want to tell you that communication is something that actually you'll never master. You'll only get better at it. Amen? You'll only get better at it. I mean, truthfully, we've been battling this thing for 6,000 years plus in the area of communication. I mean, think about the first book of the Bible, Genesis. just the first book of the Bible, book of Genesis, first chapter. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light, and let there be this, and let there be that. First chapter of the book of Genesis, God is saying, let there be, and God is creating things and reestablishing things. Everybody get that? Second chapter of the book of Genesis, God creates Adam first. He creates Adam, and here's what he does. He puts him in a garden, and he says this, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you eat of that tree, you will surely die. How many of you believe that the instructions that God gave, don't eat of the tree, are pretty crystal clear? Everybody get that? Pretty crystal clear. All right. So there's chapter 2 of the book of Genesis, and second chapter of the book of Genesis concludes with God creating female, and we talked about that over the last couple weeks. Now, Genesis chapter 3. We don't really have a time frame of when that happens, but we know Genesis chapter 3 happens. Here comes Satan, Lucifer, into the garden. As he makes his way into the garden, he says, why don't you eat some of that tree? And here's what Eve says. He said, for the Lord said, for the Lord said, for the Lord said that we should not touch it or eat it, lest we die. I got a question for you. Did God say that? Did God say that? What did God tell them? Don't eat it. What did Eve say? Don't eat it or touch it. You know? I'm here to tell you, there is a communication breakdown in Genesis chapter 3. Somewhere, somehow, the story got twisted that you can't even look at the thing, lest you die. God never said that, but Eve heard that. Who said it? Adam, I don't know, maybe. Here's what I do know for a fact. Are y'all ready? You ready? It's a revelation. There are two people on the planet, and communication is jacked up already. Two people. Two people. The only other person on the planet is God himself. And we've already got a communication breakdown. How many of you know there is no chance for your home? No chance for your home not to have communication breakdowns. So it is natural and it's understood. And you and I have got to understand that in this earth, we are going to have communication challenges. We're going to have times where you look at your spouse and go, do you really love me or do you want to choke me? You know, and there are times where you look at your kids and go, are you moving when? You know, there are times when those things happen and it's okay, but the whole deal is, are you willing to grow in the area of communication so you can be an effective parent, so you can be an effective spouse, so you can be an effective grandparent, and so on and so forth, so you can be the best person that God has made you. And I will tell you, this series, although we're kind of singling in on relationships and marriages and dating and all that stuff, I will tell you that if you will learn some of the things that we're teaching in this series, it will help you with your kids. It will help you with your grandkids. It will help you with your boss. It will help you with every aspect of relationship you might have. Because as you communicate better, things get better. Amen? All right, so let's get right into it with no further ado. Here's some things that we must understand. Here's what we must understand. We must understand the influence of our biological family. How many of you know in every family they communicate a little different? Right? See, my family's loud. That's how we communicate. We actually could be called the loud family. It's like, hey, what are you doing? I don't know. What are you doing? Don't expect to sleep in at my house. Everything is loud. Everything is loud. When I was a kid, my mom had the look. How many of you know what that is? I tell you, the most annoying thing about the look was your buddies didn't know the look. Your mom would give you the look and be like, ooh, shut up, stop. Don't be talking about that. Buddies just keep rattling on. You're like, dude, stop, because you know what comes after the look? The feel. Yeah, maybe he wasn't raised like I was. Hey, listen, but here's the truth. The truth is, we all come from a family who communicates different. And it's fine as long as you only communicate with your family because they know what you're saying and somebody else, you know. But you introduce one new somebody into that and it messes up everything. And see, that's what happens when we get married. We enter into a whole nother way of communicating. It's like, well, what did your mom mean by that? Nothing. Oh, no, there's something else. No, really, there wasn't. And you get into all that. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? All right, y'all know. Some of you are just too scared. All right, it's okay. But we must know and understand this. Here's another thing that we must understand about communication. We must know and understand that unresolved conflict will kill our relationships. If you constantly have a bunch of trauma and drama and you never communicate about it, let me assure you, you are killing your relationship. You are killing your relationship. So for all you men who have a tendency to be turtles, you're not doing your family any favor by sticking your head in your shell and pretending that it'll go away. Because let me assure you of this, it won't. As soon as you pop your head out, she's going to get it. She's going to get it. All right? So understand this. And you know how sharks kill turtles, right? They grab them by the shell and crush them. You don't want that. You don't want that because then your head really will pop out. But anyway, all right. Okay, here we go. So we must make peace with conflict. If you're going to be in a relationship, you got to know conflict is a part of it. Hey, you're going to have conflict. You're going to have conflict. I've met with people come in and say, Pastor Charlie, we're here for marriage counseling. I say, okay, great. I said, what was your last fight or argument about? Well, we don't fight. You don't fight. No. You don't have any conflict. No. Let me assure you of this, and I'll say this straight up. Let me assure you of this. If there's no fight, no conflict, no tension, let me explain what's happening. And that's exactly why you're here. Somebody's being walked on each and every day of their life. Because the truth of the matter, you can't have two people living in a home and not have different opinions about something that creates tensions and problems. But here's the difference. The difference is, what do you do with those tensions and problems? Do you begin to tear each other down? Do you begin to tear each other apart? Do you begin to rip each other to shreds? Or do you deal with the problems and deal with the tensions and manage those things? Because if you're willing to take them on, I promise you, your life and your marriage and your relationships will get better. But if you allow them, it'll make you bitter. And bitter never equals better. The only way you'll get better is if you confront the thing and talk about it and communicate about it. Amen? That's the only way it'll get better. So what is communication? Have you ever thought about that? What is communication? What is communication? Well, here's what people think it is. People think it's words. People think it's what I say. But have you ever had this conversation? Hey, how you doing? Oh, fine. I don't even know if things aren't fine. Are you mad? No. Is something bothering you? No, I don't think so. Come on, how many of you know? The air is not clear. Everything is not great. You need to figure it out. So what is communication? It's not just words. Communication is much more than that. What is it? Well, here, check this out. Did a little bit of studying on this, and here's what you'll find. Words alone are only 7% of the meaning of what you communicate. 7%. I'm gonna help some of y'all right here. Because some of you are saying the right words, but everything else screams something different. And you're wondering why your communication is off. Look at this, 7% of the meaning. How about this, tone of voice, 38% of the meaning. Sometimes we tell our kids, it isn't what you said. Come on, it's how you said it. You want something to eat? No. Oh, you ain't eating ever. Ever again. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? It isn't what you say, it's how you say it. That's what I'm talking about there. How about this? Facial expressions and gestures and posture. 55% of the meaning. Oh, yeah, I hear you. Right? Go correct your kids. You're chewing on them. What have you got to say? Nothing. Bust that. Go Sharia law on you. Here's the truth. 93% of communication is nonverbal. 93% of communication is nonverbal. How many of you believe that is critical to understand? Absolutely. So husbands, when your wife says, hey, honey, can we talk? And you're like, yeah, okay, go ahead. And you're totally ignoring her, looking in the opposite direction, and she's rattling, and you hear, can I assure you, that is not effective communication. That is not. Come on, women, that was your opportunity. That is not effective communication. Right? Right? Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? And listen, women, when your man is so zoned in on something and he says, give me just a second, how many of you know he means what he says and says what he means? You'd be better off, if you want effective communication, to let him be for a minute, right? Now, if it turns into an hour, now we got to work with it. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? But the truth of the matter is communication. You've got to work at it. You've got to put your foot in it and make sure it happens. All right, so I was thinking about it this way. What could I give you guys? What could I give you in the 45 to an hour and a half time that I have you here? What could I give you guys that would absolutely empower you to communicate and to help your families? What could I give you? And really it boiled down to, I want to give you two different things. And believe it or not, there are books that accompany both of them. So I'm going to give you the principle, teach it to you, tell you about the book. And I'm not here to sell books. I didn't write these books, all right? I'm here to just tell you, these are the tools you can get. The first one is very, very powerful. And I think it's absolutely awesome. Here it is. This is called The Five Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman. Anybody ever heard of it? Anybody ever heard of it? Let me just assure you of this. Awesome book. Check it out. If you need a copy, call the church. We'll get you a copy. It's absolutely wonderful. It is absolutely something that I think every married couple should understand and know. I believe it so much as to the fact that when Whitney started dating her boyfriend and he came over for dinner, I thought it would be good if we could take the test together as a family. You say you didn't. Oh, yeah, I did. I did. And I feel good about it. Why? Because one of the five love languages is physical touch. I want to know what your love language is. Physical touch is a part of that. Let's find out where you stand so I can find out where I stand. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? Might pick it up. So I suggest every parent do that with your girlfriend. Yeah, it's going to be wonderful. All right, but here's the principle of what I'm trying to say. You have five different basic love languages, Dr. Gary Chapman says. And these five basic love languages are simple as this. Words of affirmation. These are words that build up. Acts of service. That means serving one another. All right? Receiving gifts. Giving and receiving gifts. Quality time. Physical touch. Those are pretty self-explanatory. Now, let me tell you how it works. When Michelle and I first got married, things were going well, didn't have kids, life was easy, I was in the military, things were moving along. Time goes by, life happens, we get busy, we have kids, things start rolling. About 5 to 7 years into our marriage, I started feeling this overwhelming sense of not feeling loved. Seriously, not feeling love. Now, I'm born again. I love God. I want to do everything. And matter of fact, I even told Michelle one time, I said, you don't ever have to worry about me cheating on you. Why? Because I love God too much. That did not go over well. All right? That did not go. Don't say that, dudes. You may love God, but I'll show you why here in a minute. But here's the truth. The truth is we were having some struggle. And the struggle was, I would tell her, I don't feel loved. And she would tell me, I don't feel loved. And I'm like, what do you mean? Now, here's the behind the story. Behind the story, I didn't know, at this time I had not read this information, didn't know about Dr. Gary Chapman, didn't know about five love languages. So I did not know that my love language was physical touch and words of affirmation. Those are the two things that I feel loved. In other words, get this. When I show love, I do it by praising, complimenting, all right, giving words of affirmation, and my dominant gift is physical touch. That's why a lot of times here at the church, I give people high fives, I hug people. I do those type of things. Why? Because physical touch is how I show love. Now, Michelle's is very different. Michelle's is quality time and acts of service. Very different. Okay? So, let's go back to our marriage. We're in our marriage. I'd tell her, I don't feel like you love me. She'd say, how is that? I cook. I clean the house. I do your laundry. I do everything. I take care of the kids. I do everything. How can you not know that I don't love you? I said, I'm just telling you, I don't feel like you love me. In the same way, she would tell me, I don't feel like you love me. I'm like, how's that? Well, you never help me wash your clothes. You never help me this. You never help me that. I'm like, what is going on? Then I got a hold of this information, started reading about this, and I'm like, I get it. I told Michelle, I said, listen, here's the deal. I can live with dirty underwear. That don't bother me a bit. Doesn't even bother, I won't even bat an eye. Won't even care. Smell test, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. I can live with that. Hey, matter of fact, the dishes can pile up. We'll get to them. We'll get to them. I don't care what the kids have clean clothes on or not. I don't care. Why? Because I need love. Physical touch. If I have physical touch, I feel loved. I don't care about that. She goes, okay, but I can't feel loved unless you help me with the dishes and help me with this and help me with that. I'm like, what? So now here's the bottom line. Check this out. My predominant love language is physical touch, words of affirmation. So I show love in those languages, okay? If she wants to love me and for me to feel love, she has to communicate to me in those two languages that she loves me, by physical touch and by words of affirmation. That's how she shows me she loves me. Likewise, when I love her, I'm going to tell you straight, we have Hallmark days. Hallmark movies are the horrendous thing. Hallmark movies. It's always the same plot. You know, you got a girl, single girl, pretty girl. She loses it. She misses it. Oh, it says. And then the dude comes off, knight in shining armor. Blah, blah, blah. That they never go to the bathroom. They never eat. They never do anything real. But they just go about life, you know. And then, you know, they get together and you can see they're going to come together real close. And then something happens, you know, an ex-girlfriend or an ex-kid or this or that comes into the plot. And then they split up and he takes a plane because she flew to Jamaica to get away from him. Who does that? And then ultimately, you know, they end up at the end of the movie together. That is every Hallmark movie ever made. Every one of them. No, hey, listen, that's the reality. Nobody ever dies. Nobody ever shoots anything. Nobody ever kills anything. It's all the same plot. But I love her. Quality time. Love her. I love her. I love her. I know about once a month we have to take a trip to Indy. Why? To shop. To shop. To shop. What are you after? Do you need something? What are you buying? Well, nothing. I just want to see what they got. They probably got the same thing they had last month. I'm guessing. Hobby Lobby? Oh, Lord. They change their stuff seasonally. I mean, like, every week. So you never know what you're going to get in there. But here's the truth. I love her. So here's the deal. I'm going to help her. I'm going to love her through spending time with her and through, get this, acts of service. Yesterday I was at home working on my message. I threw in some loads of laundry. Threw in some loads of laundry, which is hilarious at my house because Michelle goes and gathers everybody's laundry. I'm not wired that way. Here's my theory. They want their laundry done? Should bring it to the laundry. That's just me. That's just me. That's just me. She's like, so whose clothes did you wash? I said, everybody that put their stuff in the hampers. I probably could do better with acts of service. Probably could. But here's the truth. The truth is, if you can understand these five languages in your relationship, it'll make your marriage more successful. It really will. So I would ask you this. If you've been together a long time, you probably know what your love languages are, okay? You probably know what your spouse responds to and what they don't. But if you don't, and I will tell you this, I believe these can change somewhat. Okay? For example, I believe Michelle bounces between these two, depending on how busy our life is, depending on what's going on. And I believe I bounce between these two also, words of affirmation and physical touch. All right? So I believe there's room there. I don't want to pigeonhole anybody, and I don't want anybody to think I'm one of these. And that. No, but here's what I am saying. What do you respond to, and what does your spouse or your significant other respond to? That's what you're after. I will tell you, it even works with your children. It even works with your children. If you can find out what your children respond to, you can find out how to love them more. You can find out how to show them love. So I know that Whitney and Michael are different in their love languages. And because of that, we show them love differently. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? One of the things, if you're a grandparent, if you have a child, a grandchild that loves to make you things and give them to you, every time you see them, they make you something, chances are their love language is what? Receiving gifts. So guess what the most powerful thing you can do as a grandparent to that grandchild is? Go buy them or make them a gift and give it to them. And love on them. Now, you may do that with all your grandkids, and you wonder why some kids respond well and some don't act like they even respond at all. It's because not every kid's wired the same. So I believe these principles right here, this will absolutely help you in your homes, help you in your marriages. And again, I would recommend take the test, a love language test. We have it here at the church. Marriage counseling, I make everybody take it because I want to know what they're dealing with and who they are and what they respond to as far as love. It's a powerful, powerful principle. Everybody hear me on that? All right? So five love languages, all right? So now, the next one I want to get to, and I want to spend the rest of my message right here. I want to talk about love and respect. Respect. How many of you ever heard of R-E-S-P-E-C-T? We played that last week, or week before last, something like that. All right, hey, who sang that song? Aretha Franklin. Now get this, who wrote that song? Otis Redding. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Come on, you might know. I left my home in Georgia, ow! Headed for the Frisco Bay. Come on, I changed the words. I have everything to live for. Looks like everything's coming my way. Hey, hey, hey. Absolutely. Hey, I think it's pretty awesome, though, that Otis Redding wrote that song. Why? That plays into what I'm teaching right now, and I love singing that song. But anyway, love and respect. Love and respect. These are two words that absolutely have everything to do with your relationships, love and respect. And I'm going to show you that men are wired for one and women are wired for the other. And if you can understand that women desire one thing and men desire another thing, it will help you in your communication. It will absolutely help you. Ephesians chapter 5 says this, husbands, come on, help me, love your wives, just as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for her. That word love there is agape. It means unconditional love. How are husbands to love their wives? With an unconditional, unrestrained love. Say, Pastor, she's crazy. What am I to do? Love her. Pastor, she's yelling at me. What am I supposed to do? Love her. Pastor, I don't know what to do. What do I do? Love her. If you will love her, it will absolutely put you in the right direction. Let me go on and just read a couple more verses here. It says this, that he may sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word, and that he might present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blemish. Watch this next verse. Here we go. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies, right? Love. Guess what word that is? Agape, unconditional love, all right? As his own body, for he who loves his wife, or loves his wife, loves who? himself. Now I want to show you one more verse, then I want to teach you the principle. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his wife as who? Himself. Guess what word that is for love? Agape. Men are to agape love. They're not agape. 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 Agape love his wife as himself. And let his wife see that she what? Respects her husband. Here's the book that I would refer you to. It's called Love and Respect by Dr. Emerson Eggerich. All right? Absolutely phenomenal. Pick it up at Walmart. You can pick it up at any bookstore. If you need a copy, we'll get you a copy if you want one. This is absolutely, matter of fact, just last night, had a couple visiting our church for the very first time. And they came up to me after the service and they said, Pastor Charlie, we were married about 4 months and we read that book and it saved our marriage. After 4 months, we were ready to call it quits. We read that book and it has absolutely transformed our marriage. Now, I'm going to give you what this book teaches you in the next 10 minutes or so. I'm going to explain the principle. But here's the truth. You ready? Men, your wife operates best when she receives unconditional love. Women. Amen. All right. Two. All right. How about this, men? Here we go. Women, your men, and I say men, being it could be your sons, whatever. Your men in your life, respond best when you show them unconditional respect. Mm-hmm. When a man shows unconditional love and a woman shows unconditional respect, let me assure you that marriage is going to stay strong and healthy. But at the point that you enter into what I call the crazy cycle, you will absolutely tear your marriage up. And let me just show you the crazy cycle. Here it is. Without love, she reacts. So the man refuses to show love. Just whatever. I know her love language, touch. I ain't touching her. She bit me last time. She's a shark. Shark. She broke off a tooth in me. Let her bite me again. I ain't loving her. I ain't showing her love. Okay? That's fine. She reacts. How does she react? Without respect. I don't give a rip what you say, honey. You ain't my husband. I wish I wouldn't even marry. Matter of fact, my daddy told me not to marry your tail. I did it anyway. That was dumb. Come on, you might know what I'm saying? Now what have you gotten into? You've gotten into treating him without respect. And because he doesn't feel respected, he reacts. Well, yeah, my family told me not to marry your tail either. And now guess what? We've now entered the crazy cycle. And you're in one thing, one insult. It's kind of like the political campaign right now. One insult right after another insult right after another insult. People can't really talk about the issues. No, we got to talk about all this stuff that don't matter and nobody cares about. Amen. Preach on, Pastor Charlie. I will. But without love, she reacts. Without respect, he reacts. And that's how it goes. That's how it goes. Why? Because women were made for unconditional love and men were made for unconditional respect. That's the truth. Here's the truth. Get this, women, I'm going to give you some insight. In the middle of a conflict with your wife or significant other, I am more likely to be feeling, this is, they polled men and they asked men this question. In the middle of a conflict, what do I feel? All right? That my wife or significant other doesn't respect me right now, or that they don't love me right now. Guess which one men said? Absolutely A. Okay, now, what has that got to do with your relationship? Hear me. Listen. Listen, here's the truth. When a husband and wife go at it, the one thing that the woman is wanting, and a lot of times the reason she turns into a shark is she wants you to extend love to her. When she feels love, she'll calm down. Watch this. And the one thing he needs is respect. When he feels respected, he calms down. Watch this. In the middle of an argument, you need to know what your wife or husband feels. If you're a lady and you're arguing with your husband, you need to know that he feels like you don't respect him. So for you to really get to the issue, you've got to show respect so that you can talk about the issue. Fair? All right, I'm coming back to the women. Don't worry. It's like, don't be telling me to respect him. And you ain't going to talk about the love. I will talk about the love. Listen, men. If you're into it, you need to recognize immediately one of the reasons we're into it, one of the reasons there's conflict, is she doesn't feel loved. I need to make sure she feels loved before we can talk about the issue. I need to make sure. So, for example, in our home, I will tell Michelle, we may get into it about something. And I'll tell her, say, babe, listen, I love you and I'm for you, but I don't understand you. I don't understand what that is. Or I might say, Michelle, I love you and I'm for you, but listen, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that, but I love you. But I want you to understand I love you, and that's why I'm telling you the truth. I love you, but I don't agree with that, and I don't think we should do that. Come on, y'all hearing my heart? Hearing what I'm saying? What you got to do, men, is you got to shore up her love. You got to put some love in the love tank. Say, baby, I love you, but let's talk about the issue. Come on, y'all hearing me? Men, women, you need to honor your husband's opinion. You need to respect him. And respecting him by saying, honey, I hear you, but I don't agree with that either. Here's what I'm trying to say. If you can show honor and respect, you will enter into what I call an energized cycle. Absolutely. Check this out. This is an energizing cycle. His love motivates her respect. Her respect motivates his love. And now you're moving the relationship in the right direction, even though there's conflict. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying today? Absolutely. There's absolutely conflict. Here's something that you need to know. A simple application is if a wife is to display a respectful facial expression and tone when he fails to be the man she wants. He's such a loser. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the opposite of that. It is possible to respect him even though you disagree. Watch, she can give her husband unconditional respect in tone and expression while confronting his unloving behavior and without endorsing an unloving action. He may deserve contempt, but that doesn't win him any more than that harshness or anger wins the woman's heart. Y'all hear that? You hear that? That's a quote from this book. And I thought it was so good, I had to use it. See, it's possible to have a disagreement and yet still choose to respect each other and love each other. Come on, everybody get that? So every man in here, what does every woman want? Not just any love, they want what? Unconditional love. All right, ladies, what does every man want? Respect, absolutely. You think about the predominant ways in which men thrive. I was thinking about it in the military culture. You know, in military culture, men do everything out of respect and honor. That system was set up on purpose so that men will want to excel. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? You try the same thing with a bunch of women, they'll be like, shoot, you go ahead. Go ahead with that. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You know, you put three dudes in a room, they're gonna battle to see who's the best. And it's not about who loves everybody. They don't even talk that way. It's about who's going to respect who. Because it's about honor and respect. Amen? Everybody get that? All right, moving on. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you three keys to communicating effective. You ready? Number one, write this down. Be honest. There's a revelation, I know. Be honest. Be honest. I've met with people and I'll say, Are you miserable in your married life? Yes, you are. Okay, then you sit them both down together. Ask the same individual, are you married? Yes. Are you miserable? No. I'm like, time out. You just told me a week ago you were miserable. And now you can't tell me here now you're miserable? I'm happy. So what changed in a week? Truth is nothing. Truth is you just won't say it. How about let's be honest? Let's be honest. Why? You saying no on the outside and saying yes on the outside is just making you bitter. It's making you bitter. It's making you bitter. Let's deal with where you're at and let's move from there. Let's be honest. But here's the truth. Speak truth, but don't bite. Is that fair? Speak the truth, but don't bite. In Ephesians 4:15, if you need a verse to go along with that. Speaking the truth in love, absolutely. You should speak the truth, but yet don't bite. Amen? Number two, I'm going to give you this one. Be diligent, work hard on your relationships. Listen, here's the way I translate this. If I'm here on this planet, stuck with these people living in my house, I might as well try and figure them out, praise God. Amen? And I don't mean stuck like I'm stuck, but I love my family. But here's the truth. I want to invest in figuring how they figure life out. That makes somewhat of a sense. I really, really do. I want to figure out what makes my son tick so he can be the best man that he can be. What makes my daughter tick so she can be the best woman she can be? What makes my wife tick so she can be the best woman that she is called to be? Come on, amen. And so I'm going to invest in buying a book every once in a while. I'm going to invest in, I mean, think about it. I think that marriage is something you should consistently and constantly be investing in. Because it's something you live with every day. And the truth of the matter is, life on earth can be heaven or hell based upon your relationships. Come on, amen? All right, last one. You ready? Number three, write this one down. Be forgiving. Be forgiving. Be forgiving. Be the first to say, I'm sorry. You know that crazy cycle I was talking about? A lot of times people will ask, well, Pastor Charlie, who should go first? Should the man love his wife first? Or should the woman respect her husband first? How do you get the cycle started? Here's what I'll tell you. Who's the most mature? If you think you're the most mature, it's your responsibility to start. If you think she's the most mature, maybe you should grow so that you can start. The truth of the matter is, I put it on both couples to start. Because the truth of the matter is, if you will both start, come on, you can't help but work it out. Amen? Amen. We live in a society and a culture that just throws away relationships like it's nothing. Here's the truth. The truth of the matter is, God never designed you to be that way. You're supposed to be in it, stick with it, and fight for it until there's no hope left, praise God. And then fight a little more just to make sure. Amen? Amen. Absolutely. Be the first to forgive. Be forgiving. Here's the scripture, and then I'm going to close down the shop here. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Listen to this. Forgiving one another. Why? Even as God in Christ, what? Forgave you. Here, let me translate that. We were all sinners. We were all messed up at one time. And when we came to Christ, we didn't come to Christ and Christ look at us and say, you guys figure this all out, get all cleaned up, and then I'll take you in. That ain't the way it works. The way it works is God says, I'll take you just as you are. I'll forgive you just as you are. I'll forgive you as messed up as you might be. I will forgive you now on credit, knowing that by forgiving you, I'll allow you to be released from the things that haunt you. That's exactly what he's done. You have got to know in dealing with your spouse that if God can forgive you so much, why can't you forgive them so little? God has forgiven us so much. So when we look at our spouse and they maybe say something, they just don't say it quite right for us, or maybe they don't act quite right for us or whatever. How many of you know that is minor compared to your past and the things that you've been through in your life? So remember, when you forgive, that you forgive them completely and forgive them and release them from it. Forgive them and release them from it. Hey, listen, I believe that forgiveness is a three-stage process, though. So forgiving is not mean that when you choose to forgive, all the feelings go away. I believe that forgiveness is a three-stage process. And let me just quickly give these to you, and then we'll be done. But listen to this. There's forgiving, forgiven, and forgive. Forgive is, I choose to forgive. I make a choice to forgive. I make a choice. Here, listen to me. That doesn't mean my feelings change. It means my head and my heart's changing. I choose to forgive. Now, get this, second stage. I'm forgiving. What's that mean? I'm in the process of forgiving. My head has said, yes, I forgive, but my heart still struggles with it. But I'm working it out. And then there's forgiven, which means I'm totally free from it now. Now, whenever I see that person that did me wrong, it doesn't cause me to get in a panic. I just calmly know I've forgiven them. I've forgiven them. Absolutely. I like to explain it like this. There's the cut, the scab, and the scar. The cut is the initial action that someone does that cuts you and hurts you. Then there's the scab. Scab is where it's being healed, but it's not quite there yet. And if you pick at it, you might get to some blood. You might get to some infection. Let's not do that. Let's not pick at that. And then there's the scar. The scar says it's totally healed over. We can talk about it. It's no problem. I've moved on. All right? I've had couples look at each other and say, we're in the scab stage. It hurts when we talk about it, but we're moving forward. See, that's for, see, forgiveness is not something you just do and it's all over. I get that. I get that. But it is a process. And if you'll be faithful to the process, God will free you. God will free you, absolutely. So no matter where your marriage is, no matter where your relationships are, it could be a relationship with your son, daughter, could be a relationship in your marriage, know that forgiveness is all based upon not what they do, listen to me, not what they do, but what Christ did for you. And by knowing what he did for me, you're released to forgive others. Come on, amen. And I believe, because I believe this with all my heart, you ready? I left that one last on purpose because I believe in a relationship, you're gonna have to forgive daily. Maybe even weekly, maybe monthly. But forgiveness is something you got to constantly work on and walk in. Come on, amen.